You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
Today, we're going to look at his commandment to his disciples, probably what you could distill down the entire message and teaching of Jesus into this particular commandment that he gives his men. And so today we're going to talk about, as he loved, love. As he loved, love. And we see that teaching here in John 13. So beginning in verse 31, it says this: when he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So here we see Jesus about to depart from the world. So he's preparing his men for that time. And so previously in chapter 13, in the very beginning, it says that the Passover was coming and Jesus knew it was his time to depart from the world, and he loved his disciples completely, or until the end. And so the verses that we just read here indicate at the very beginning, it says, when he was gone, it's talking about Judas. And prior to that, Jesus had said, "Judas, do what you came to do." We know that Judas betrayed Jesus. And so it was at that moment, Judas leaves, and now Jesus is there with his men. And it's almost like confirmation that what Judas had planned to do, he was going off to do. And now Jesus had his men there, and he said, "Okay, now I can give you this very important teaching." And he tells his men that he's going to the cross. In the very beginning, in verse 31, he says, "Now the Son of Man is glorified." He's talking about himself. He says that he is going to be glorified, but through God. And in going to the cross, he was going to glorify God in that way. So that mutual glorification. And then after that, he says, "My children," to his disciples. And it was not meant to belittle them. It was as if a father was saying to his children this loving message to them, something very important that he had for them. And he shares with them that the time is coming for him to depart, and they will look for him, but they cannot find him, which is exactly what he told the Jews in John 7, 33 through 36 at the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this is really the heart of what I want to talk about today, is what Jesus says next. So again, he's preparing his men. He's like, "I'm going away. I'm going to glorify God. God is going to glorify me. Where I'm going, you can't come. But whatever you do, do this." This particular commandment is so important. He says it's a new commandment. He says, "I give you a new command." But what was new about this commandment? Because we were to love. I mean, the Jews were to love. But in what way? In the beginning of Leviticus 19, verse 18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So the teaching was to love as you would love yourself. That's not a bad thing, right? That's not a bad standard, but as we think about the standard to love, it was based on how we would love ourselves. And again, that's a good thing. That's a good place to start. But here, the new commandment, the new teaching that Jesus is giving, is that they were to love one another as Jesus loved them. And by Jesus coming to the world and teaching them and walking with them, they were able to see love for what it actually was. This love of God, this love was made flesh, this love manifested. And they were able to experience it and see it and understand it in a fulfilling and new way. And so he tells his men, love like that. And Jesus was talking about a particular type of love, I mean Christ-like love, but here he's talking about what we call agape love. Agape love. And agape love is not just a feeling, a desire for someone or something. It's benevolence or goodwill. So in other words, the love that Jesus was talking about was love that promotes the good in another person despite what it means for them or for me. Sacrificial love, unconditional love, agape, Christ-like love. But how did Jesus love them? Let's talk specifically about the many ways in which Jesus loved his men. Well, he did a lot of things, right? He spoke kindly to them, concerned himself with them, instructed them, counseled them, comforted them, prayed with them and for them, vindicated them when they were accused, took their part when they were run down, and publicly owned them to be dearer to him than his mother or sister or brother. He reproved them for what they messed up, yet compassionately bore with their feelings, excused them, made the best of them, had vision for them, and passed by many an oversight, overlooked many a shortcoming. And just before this, these scriptures that we just read, Jesus washes their feet. He lowers himself to the position of a slave and washes their feet. He laid down his life for them time and time again, which ultimately culminated in his death on the cross for their spiritual security and for ours as well. And so, I mean, and there's many more ways that Jesus loved his people and the disciples. And I think as we reflect on our lives and as we sit and seriously consider what Jesus has done for us, we can connect with that, a lot of that, and see the same thing in our lives. I mean, I know that I can. A lot of times, we think of the extent of love when we find ourselves at our lowest and at our worst. And that's exactly how Jesus loved me. And when I think about the sort of the lowest time in my life, I would have to say college. I mean, college is supposed to be this, you know, amazing, joyful time. You're you know, free of your parents and you can kind of do your own thing, so to speak. And though that might be good for me, it was really a bad thing in many ways, honestly. I got into things that I probably just would have been better off avoiding. So I went to Ithaca College, and Ithaca is a beautiful place. It's a great school. And I played football there, believe it or not. Little old me played football there. We'll talk about that later. And not to excuse the behavior, but that put me in contact with other people that weren't really trying to live out a godly life. And I got sucked into that. I got sucked into that lifestyle. And that brought me to places that, again, I just shouldn't have gone. I mean, I was in a lot of relationships that were impure. Things that I look back on and just regret, you know, especially as I think about my family and think about my girls. I also was into different substances. I mean, it just seemed like, you know, after the game on Saturday and we went out, that's just what everybody was doing. That's what everybody was into. And it had this appearance of being fun and enjoyable, and I found security in that. I found a false sense of security, I should say. I found this sort of momentary pleasure and enjoyment. And it was all just wrapped up in this sinful lifestyle. And that carried on with me past that time. It was tough to break up with that. And I really didn't see a reason to at that point, even though it brought me a lot of pain. But I would say the worst of the worst was probably 2 years after that time. You know, in playing football at Ithaca, our biggest rival was Cortland. And they're 20 minutes down the road. And we have a lot of similar friends at both schools. And there's a lot of people in that area. And we would come together and play this game. And thousands of people would come out. Actually, Sports Illustrated called it the biggest little game in America. I mean, it was a huge game. It was such a big deal. And so my friends and I would go back to that game years after. We tried to go back year after year. And I believe it was in 2004, I had been living in Indiana, and I drove out to meet a friend in Ohio, and we drove out to Ithaca to make the game. We drove out on a Friday. And on that drive, we were consuming alcohol. And we got to Ithaca, and we got to a party, and we consumed more. And then we went down to the bars, and we consumed more. And then we had to make it back up to this apartment where we were staying that night. And I said, well, I could drive. I mean, I'd done it before. Why not do it again? And so, I mean, literally, it was 2 miles from where we were. I had to just drive 2 miles. And so I'm driving up the road. I take a back way to sort of be, you know, under the radar. And I saw a police car behind me. And so I pull off to the side road, and I quickly pull into a driveway. I had no idea whose driveway I was pulling into. And I see the cop go past, and the coast is clear. As soon as I put it in reverse, try to come out, cop pulls up behind me, lights on, comes up to the window. Yep. He knew what was going on. So he gets me out. He runs me through a series of tests, all of which I failed, obviously. He put the handcuffs on me, took me down to the station. I was down in the station for 2 hours. Took a breathalyzer. My BAC was almost twice the legal limit. And once that happened and they took my license, I was free to go early in the morning. And I'm calling my friends, nobody of which who picked up their phone. Nobody came to get me. I had to call somebody else who I knew was on campus, stayed at their house, went to go see, you know, my friends the next day, and just carried on as if nothing ever happened. And so that case was in the courts for 2 years. And I got charged with 2 misdemeanors, DWI and driving with a BAC over 0.08, which, you know, essentially is the same thing, right? But in New York State, you can be charged with both those things, as you should, as I should have been charged with many more things beyond that. I mean, I put so many people at risk, my own life, my friend's life, and all those people around me that I had driven past. I mean, I can't even imagine the devastation that could have come from something like that. And again, to me, that was the low of the low. I mean, that was so bad. But this is the crazy thing, is that though I was choosing so many other things, God chose me. Amen. Jesus was loving me through that time. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, you know, I finished grad school, and then I'm back in the Binghamton area looking for a job, looking for a health teaching job with this on my record. And I go to a school who I had no connection with at all. And I'm sitting in front of a panel of administrators, teachers, professionals who are trying to help people. And I'm asking for this job. And at the end of the interview, they say, this is the most embarrassing moment of my life. They're like, do you have anything for us? And I'm like, well, yeah, actually I do. I mean, I had to tell them. About this experience. And I just said, look, this is what happened. I feel so terrible about it. Please give me a job, you know. And I walked away from the interview. I felt so great about the interview until that moment. But they called me and offered me the job. I mean, no reason. I mean, why? Like, why? Why give me that job? I wanted to teach health, and I had this thing on my record that was so terrible and awful. But they gave me the job. God opened a door for me to work in the school and get teaching experience and work with children and do what he had created me to do, even though I didn't deserve it. And later I worked on a research project for the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, one of the biggest health organizations in the country. And then I was looking for a job in the Binghamton area, but couldn't find anything. But little did I know, God was opening a door for me to come here. And so I had a friend who was working in Clarkstown, and a job opened up down here, and I came down to interview. And it was the same scenario again. I was like, why does this keep happening? I'm interviewing for this job. The interview was great. And they say, do you have anything for us? And I was like, No, I don't, but yes, I do. And so I had to tell him again. And it was this awesome opportunity. And I walked away from that interview. And again, offered me the job. Had no reason to offer me the job, but they did. But God was opening up a door for me to come here, not so that I could teach, I mean, that was part of it, but so I could become a disciple of Jesus. And so I moved down, I started coaching and was teaching, and I'd met Kyle Sanders, was one of the first people that I met because I was coaching football at the time, and Kyle, so Mark and Fiona's son, who was not a disciple at the time, but I was coaching him, and I ran into him in the mall, and I think Fiona kind of nudged him to come over and invite me out to church. And I was looking for a church at the time, and so I'd been kind of back and forth between what ended up being here and another church, and so I was coming here for a while. And again, God was choosing me. I was choosing so many other things than God, but he was doing good for me. He was loving me. He was showing me the way. And so I was back and forth, and then later that year, I decided to sign up for this community learning class about Tai Chi. I was like, who wouldn't want to learn Tai Chi? You know, this sounds like a good time. And so I signed up for that class, and I took that class, and little did I know, I would meet the person that would become one of the greatest influences of my life, who would later become my mentor, who I would say, see you later too for a little bit, and then come back and mentor me again. That was Steve Kennard. He just decided that he would teach this class to reach out to people. I think the first class was a lot of elderly women, which, hey, that, you know, you can reach out to anybody. What he said, you know, he said, I want to teach this class again. And so, you know, I took that class from him. And again, God was putting people in my life at a time when I was doing all the wrong things. I mean, it was amazing that he just kept saying to me, you know, open up your eyes, look at what I have for you. I mean, he's doing so many good things. And I met so many great people here. I mean, he just blessed me in so many ways. He was loving me. He was doing good for me, loving me unconditionally. And eventually, I became a disciple. And, you know, I can tell you the rest of the story at a different time. You know, here I am today, loved by God. Unconditionally, totally, completely loved by God. Because I was choosing other things, I was an enemy of God. Romans 5, verse 10. But God so loved the world, right? His enemies loved him unconditionally. Agape love, Christ-like love. He gave his one and only son to die for us. And Jesus laid down his life for not only the disciples, but also for you and me, so that we could have an opportunity to have the greatest relationship, the greatest life that we could possibly imagine. Let's connect with that love. Let's meditate on that love. Let's look at the scriptures and understand how he has loved his disciples and reflect on how he has loved you and me. Let's pray that we can come to know that love so we can enjoy the full blessing of that love and pass that on to others. Because as he loved, we need to love. It's not that just that we enjoy that love and we accept that blessing, we pass that on. And we pass that on in this community here. So back in the scripture in verse 34, again, he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Christ taught his men to love one another with his kind of love. He wanted his men to not only enjoy the great blessing of his love, to pass it, but to pass it on to one another, to pay it forward, and in so doing, become a light to the world. One early church father said this, the communities of God, to which Christ has become teacher and guide, are in comparison with communities of the pagan people among them, whom they live as strangers, like heavenly lights in the world. The Christian community is to be a heavenly light in the world. How? Through the way that we love one another. And our goal is not to outdo the world in love, right? That's not the goal. I mean, the goal is to love like Christ loved. But in so doing, it shines a light on what the world calls love and shows it for what it actually is. It's not love. It's something completely different. It's not agape, Christ-like love. And as we love that way, we show the world that we are His disciples because of the way that we love. So when I was back in that time, when I was looking at different churches in 2006, like I said, I was back and forth between this church and another church. And another church that I had gone to, it was having a potluck meal. And so I was like, man, you know, I love potluck meals. I'll go. So I went, and I was, you know, I was trying to get to know people there, and I knew one person. And so I go to the potluck, and I'm circling around trying to find this one guy. And I circle around. I think I did a couple laps. And nobody said a word to me. I mean, the people there seemed so cold and distant. And I never went back. I never even thought about going back. And why would I? Because I had been here. I had seen what true love was for one another. I had seen the love that you had for each other here. And I wanted that love. I saw the love that you showed each other by how you were in each other's lives. How you really wanted to know each other and how you wanted to know me. I mean, who was I? I was just some random guy that showed up one day. And you loved me. You showed me true, authentic love. I saw the closeness here. People really knew each other. They were doing life together. And when I came in, again, you embraced me. I went through a lot of difficult things here, you know, before. And losing my mother, I mean, that was one of the most difficult things I'd ever had to endure. But you picked me up off the ground. I will never forget that. You know, Katie, when we got engaged, Katie moved up here. Katie moved away from her family, from her friends, from her job. And it was, you know, it was a good job. She enjoyed her job. Sometimes you have to say that with jobs, you know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But she, you know, she was a little reluctant at first. She didn't really know people here, but I mean, it was amazing how quickly this became her home. And that was because of the love that you had for us and for her. True, authentic, agape love. And I'll be honest, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that we wanted to come back. But that was one of them. Because if there's one thing that I can use, that I can say about this church, it's that there's love here. There's true, authentic love for each other. And that's what we want. We want to do life with you. We want to be in your lives. We want to work together. We want to go through the ups and downs of this world together. We want to be part of loving one another the way Christ did and does. But there's work to do. Right? We haven't perfected that yet. I mean, that's what we strive for, but we haven't perfected it yet. So let's do life together. Let's love one another. Let's be seeking to be with each other. And in order to do that, we need time together. We need to be spending time with each other. There is just absolutely no substitute for quality time together. I mean, you can't really love if you don't have that foundation of time together. I mean, we can show up on Sunday and we can be nice to each other and we can say that we love each other and feel good about each other. But that's not really love, right? That's just sort of a community of people that like each other and that smile at each other. But we can't be like that. We have to spend time with each other outside of these meetings. So I have a challenge for you, church. I want us to do this together as we think about this week ahead of us, as we consider what we have to do. And there's probably so many things. I mean, I feel that too. Our schedules can just be unbelievably full, right? But we control our schedules. We have to be people who prioritize our time. Let's prioritize time with each other as we think about our week ahead. Let's think of each other first. I mean, Stephen Covey has written this a great book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And he has this thing that he talks about with putting first things first. And he talks about doing your schedule. And your big rocks are the things that are the most important, the things that are the priorities. And you put those in your schedule first. Let's be big rocks for each other. Let's think about how we can get time together and love and get to know each other and work together. You know, I was talking with somebody recently who said, sometimes I just feel like, why do I have to go to this event? I mean, why should I go to this event? And let me just say, that's the wrong attitude to have. That it's just another thing that I have to show up to check that off on the list. That is the wrong attitude to have. And if that's where you are today, I just ask you to examine your heart and why you might be feeling that way. I mean, is it really true that it's just one more thing? I think the right attitude to have is, oh my goodness, I am grateful for another opportunity to be with disciples, to be in a community of love, to be with my brothers and sisters and enjoy this incredible blessing that God has given us. I mean, that's how I see you. That's how I see time with you. That's how we need to see time with each other. So let's examine how Christ has loved us and spread the agape love of Christ throughout the church and throughout the Hudson Valley. Let's make the Hudson Valley a bright light in a dark world. And to God and His Son be the glory. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.